Welcome back to Drinks First. Today I have a guest with me who is an exceptional woman, and I'm very excited to have her on. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be part of this episode of Drinks First.
So we're going to start off asking just the normal questions, the ones that we ask everyone, which is, how old are you? Where are you from? And where do you live in New York now?
I am 23 years old. I actually grew up in New York City since I was 7, and I still live in New York City, and right now I live in Hudson Yards.
And what do you do for work? And if you went to college, where did you go to college?
So I'm a serial entrepreneur based in New York City. I own a couple restaurants, a recording studio, and a clothing brand. I went to school in the city as well. I went to Baruch in Midtown.
And you said you grew up in the city. So where in the city did you grow up?
I grew up in Brooklyn, so mostly around the Bay Ridge, Park Slope area.
And where were you like prior to being 7?
I was born in China, and I grew up there till I was 7.
So what brought your family to New York City?
I think for a better future. My mother thought that this would be a land of opportunity, which she was definitely right about. If I never had the opportunity to immigrate here, I think my life would be very, very different.
Yeah, valid. So you said you were a whole bunch of things for work. You own restaurants, you have a recording studio, you have a clothing brand. That's a lot of very different things. How did you get into each of those things, and how do you do it all?
I think that growing up with a mom that was also an entrepreneur, it was very inspiring to see how amazing like a single mom could do it. And I feel like I've always wanted a life where I have more freedom and the opportunity for me to be my own boss and not have to just work for someone or work on something I'm not passionate about. I actually started the project in college. Like my first business venture was the clothing brand and the recording studio. So I started that end of freshman year, beginning of sophomore year. And that kind of like took off. And during the pandemic is when I ventured into opening my restaurants.
Let's start with the recording studio and the clothing brand. So it's still happening today. So clearly it was a success from your first business venture. What did you do to kind of like get into that space? What interested you about it? And where do you think you found success there?
I have always loved fashion, and I also love music. I think those are two things that connect people and bring people together. And it's also very important for self-expression. For as long as I remembered, I always took a big interest in fashion. And when the opportunity came to kind of start an e-commerce brand back in 2017, 2018, it was just like a boom. Like, you know, like everybody could before like the age of the internet, the barrier to entry was so high. But now everybody with an access to a computer and some research and the work and dedication that is put into it. And if you want it bad enough, anyone can start a brand. And if you have a good idea, people are receptive and you could use the power of social media to get it in front of a lot of eyes.
So with your brand, like what was the inspiration behind it and why do you think you were kind of drawn to doing that?
I just really wanted to make clothes that I would wear, and I was just spending so much money on clothes. I was like, might as well make it into some sort of an asset instead of a liability spending, you know? So I would just, you know, source fabrics or source from designers that I would really enjoy wearing myself. And basically just instead of buying one piece of item, I would buy like a SKU of 100 items, you know? Yeah.
So you like, you were buying kind of like wholesale items and you set up kind of this e-commerce platform and started
like
selling clothes.
Mm-hmm. And then I would also work with designers and factories. Like I would be able to pick the fabric and then the designers would design what I would see like would be on trend that season. And then we would put that out.
Did you have experience in fashion before you did any of that?
No, I don't think I had experience in any of my fields where my business is in before I started them.
Obviously, the barrier of entry is interesting. Like, did you have connections that you made that like kind of helped you start these businesses? Or how did you break into these spaces that you didn't have background on?
I think that a lot of it has to do with even just being in New York City, like the available opportunity to younger people here is unmatched anywhere else. I can't think of another place where if you wanted to learn about something, there are tons of internships, tons of materials, like people who are willing to help, people who are willing to share the information with you. Like when I was in high school, senior year, I was super interested in like fashion and photography, and I was able to do like 3 to 4 fellowships and internships through my school. And from one thing, it led to the other. Like I started off with a fellowship at NYU for like their image makers program for high school seniors. And then from there, like that my professor there recommended me to try an internship at the International Center of Photography. So it's like, and it costs nothing, you know, so there's no financial barrier for people, because if you're willing to apply and put in the work, like write the essay, there's definitely opportunity for you to get those hands-on experience that would benefit you in the long run.
So you were doing this like fashion brand, but you were also opening a recording studio. Where did that come from?
So my business co-founder and I started the clothing brand, and he's a producer. So he had his own studio like on Mercer Street, and it was just basically like 2 rooms, like super like low budget situation. But he made music, and he made good music, and all of his friends made music. So they all had the equipment and the experience and everything that they've been collecting over the years in those rooms. So it was a fully functioning recording studio, but it was only for personal use. So when we became friends and we started a business together, I realized like how unused the space was most of the time. And I brought up the idea that maybe we should turn this liability into an asset and rent it out to all of the independent artists and people who are just starting out trying to make music, who doesn't have the budget to go to these like really high-end expensive studios in the city, and they like want to start somewhere, right? And so that's where we came in, and we decided that we should try it out, and it worked really well. And then we hired more and more engineers, and then we just started booking out time, and we were booked like 20 hours out of the day.
That's amazing. So simultaneously, like through this connection you made, where did you meet your co-founder?
At a Sony Music party.
It just comes down to like you have no idea who you're gonna meet.
Yeah,
and like
I didn't
where
even
you're gonna
go out that night. So that really actually tells a lot. Like I feel like I have such bad FOMO. Like I think that got me really far in life. Like I say yes to everything, like, and sometimes I shouldn't, but like I really like have such bad like fear of missing out. I'm like, oh, my friend's like, do you want to go out tonight? I'm like so tired. I'm like, sure, I'll go out tonight. And then you know,
I know. I like I had literally the worst FOMO as well. Like I think it's lessened over time, like as I've gotten older, but like when I was 23, 24, 25, like I had notoriously bad FOMO. Like I would say yes to everything. I'd go out every single night. But like, you know, you never know where those moments will lead you, who you'll meet, what kinds of experiences or people you might meet or have. Like there is some good to it, but it can be exhausting.
No, I definitely think it's exhausting. Like it's really crazy. I just heard MGK talk on stage, and he said this, like that when he was younger, he said yes to a lot of things, like that he didn't feel like was fulfilling in the long run, you know, but he just said them because he just felt like that's something that he needed to do. Just like how we felt like we need to say yes, maybe not even just like from a night of going out versus business opportunities. We would say yes to them, especially when we're, you know, fresh to the game, right? But then now, like as we've gained experience, we need to prioritize our health and mental well-being and ask ourselves the real question, like, do I actually want to do this, right? Like, so I think that like if you are just starting out and you haven't done all of the things that you wanted to do, saying yes is beneficial. But down the line, like, to avoid burnout and to avoid, like, you know, tiring yourself out and, like, not even enjoying the moment, you need to enjoy the fact that saying no is okay.
Yeah. And to touch on that, I mean, you are running this clothing brand, you're running a recording studio, you decide to start running another business. So tell me a little bit about the fact that you own restaurants.
Yeah, so that's my newest venture. And it was a pandemic baby. You know, people got married, people had children. I had a new restaurant opening. that's what happened.
What prompted you to kind of get into the food and bev space?
I have always loved food. It's such a big part of my culture and it brings people together. When I have a bad day, I love, you know, some hearty, just like warm food to cheer me up. If I have a great day or have a great celebration, I would love to bring together my friends and celebrate over food. It's like there's no occasion where food doesn't solve the problem. Like it helps. It's not going to be curing like everything that you have wrong, but it certainly helps, right? And it's like something that you have this like intimate experience that you could share with everyone. And I thought that because of everything that was going on in the world and we had to like close down our brick and mortar stores with retail, I kind of took that a little personally and I didn't know what I wanted to do. And this opportunity came on also talking about barrier to entry, right? Everyone was moving out of New York. They were saying New York's never going to recover. Everything was kind of just like shut down. So we saw that opportunity and decided like, no, I'm betting on New York. Like I've been here all my life, like well, majority of the life that I remember. And I fully believe New Yorkers are strong enough to bounce back from this. So we kind of just like decided to look into opening a restaurant. And in that like time, it was so cheap to find such a good retail store, like a retail space that's on an avenue and have good foot traffic for a fraction of what it would cost right now. Like the real estate prices currently are insane compared to back then. It was like a once in a lifetime opportunity, honestly.
And so you found this space, you were excited about it. I'm guessing like whatever capital you had made from your recording studio and your like clothing brand, is that like what helped you secure this space?
That's what helped fund the new venture.
And how did you come up with the concept of what you're deciding to do now?
So I love sushi. It's my favorite food. So I have two omakase restaurants. And the concept of omakase means chef's choice. So it's all about quality ingredients, sourcing the best fish, and being able to watch the art of sushi making happen in front of you as well. And during this time, when we first started, there was probably a handful of restaurants that were doing it in the city, and they were all very, very astronomically priced, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was like, it's the Masas or the Sushi Nakazawas of the world. And people can't just jump straight into that and not feel intimidated. You know, like it's just such a crazy, like, experience that might feel intimidating. You can't ask for sauce. You can't ask for explanations. You can't talk too loud. Like, you know, you ever seen that scene in Succession or Billions where like the person is eating at Nakazawa and gets like yelled at because he was asking for soy sauce. It's like that kind of experience isn't accessible to the general public. And I don't think that good food should be a limitation that some people can't have access to. So I decided to start my restaurants because I wanted to have like at least like a entry level experience for people who might work their way up to that, right? And that's beautiful. Like those chefs have been doing it their whole lives, and the art of sushi is something that like goes back thousands and thousands of years, and it's a wonderful thing that most people should experience, especially if they've never experienced before. So when I started my restaurants, I priced it at a very reasonable price compared to everybody else, but I never compromised on ingredients. I didn't compromise on the quality of my food. And then it's also a place that people can come and enjoy and have a great night out with friends, and they can talk as loud as they want, like, you know, in a reasonable way, as all patrons of a public space should. And they could ask questions, they could ask for sauces, they could ask all of the things that they would need in order to not feel intimidated.
So did you open during the pandemic, or did you wait until like stuff kind of was opening up in the city?
Yeah, so what's crazy is we opened September 2021, and then we thought that everything was getting, you know, back to normal, and like we got through the worst of it, and then Omicron happened. And we had to like shut down for a month. And I really didn't know like if we were going to make it through that. But here we are in 2023. So it worked out. But that was a tough time to operate during Omicron, especially as like a business that's just a few months old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so interesting that the through line for your businesses is accessibility in a way. It's mm-hmm. You saw an opportunity where there was a really luxury product that people were doing, whether it was booking a really expensive studio or buying really nice expensive clothes or like going to a really nice restaurant. And what you did was make it more accessible to people who had like less of a budget to be able to do those things.
Huh. Wow. Yeah. No, I have never thought of it, but that is a common connection to all of my businesses. It is accessibility, because the studio, what started off, yeah, like being able to allow people who don't usually have a record label or have like a backing behind them to afford hundreds of dollars of studio time. And that's why we started that. And like, yeah, for clothing, it's also like I want to have more accessible, reasonably priced clothing that is available to everyone who wants it and like can't afford it. And they have an option that's not like the revolves around the world, you know? And then the sushi, yeah, you're so right. It is like I wanted people to be able to have omakase without paying $300. Wow, no, that puts things in perspective for me.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, a question I do ask everyone on the podcast is, and this is interesting because you're entrenched in hospitality, is where do you like to eat and where do you like to go out?
What's funny is that even though I go out all the time, I'm like, I don't like to go out. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I prefer like a dinner party at home, like a night in with friends, than going out to the club, which is funny because I was just at a club last night. But like, I don't know. I just feel like with hospitality, it's all about like genuine connection, right? So I love like a good like ambiance to a place along with the good food. Like one of my favorite places that I love in the city is Indochine. Like it's such a vibe. Like I love Indochine for the food. Like their Vietnamese ravioli is my favorite thing on the menu. Like everyone has to try it. And the vibe is just immaculate. Every time I go there, everyone's like dressed to like the nines, and like everyone's just like so like chic. And then like there's just like dim lighting with like a like tropical theme going on. Love that restaurant. For going out, I'm not sure. Like I'm a going out person, right? Like a bottles at a club type of person. So that's why I love like an experience, right? So I love The Box. I love the House of Yes. And I went to The Stranger last night. Like I think like having that kind of like environment where it's not just the bottle and the club, you could also have a show with it, makes me like want to go out. Like yeah. Versus if someone was like, oh, do you want to go to like Marquee tonight, you know? It's yeah. Very different. Yeah,
it's so different. I mean, The Box, Stranger, owned by the same company.
Same
owners,
yeah.
Like they're all about the like crazy experience. I actually haven't been to The Stranger yet because like it opened during COVID and they were kind of like throwing like low-key
private parties.
And like I was out of the city for some of that, and then like didn't have a chance to go to one of them when I was invited. And then now, as like being like sober, I feel less of a draw to go to.
Actually, like, I don't drink that often either.
Yeah.
And I didn't drink last night. So, but it's like still so fun. Like, it's way more fun to go to like a stranger or a box type of place and not drink versus if you went out to like a regular club and not drink, because there's nothing to do at a regular club besides drinking. But at the stranger, there's just like so many things to like look at and explore. And there's just like fun, like experiences everywhere. It feels like an adult like playground.
Okay, that's a good point, because last time I was at the box, I was sober, and I saw you.
And I had a great time, too. Like,
I had a great time that night. Yeah.
I had a wonderful night.
I used to frequent the box so much as, like, a 21, like, 20 to 22-year-old. I would go to the box almost every single week, and I, like, started seeing the same shows. Like, that's how often I would go.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I gotta like slow down on going to the box. So when I saw you at the box last time, like over Fashion Week, that was like the first time I had been in forever. And I was like, oh my God, I love this.
That was
this
a fun experience. Like, you were getting tattoos upstairs, and like, you like, it was fun. And also, like, Fashion Week crowd, like, dressed like so nice. Like, I feel like that adds to it, right? Like, when you're going out, I feel like you need to like dress for the occasion. Like, I love a good theme. So if you're going to the box, like, put on some leather, it's so nice. Like, I enjoy when everyone is on the same page.
Yeah.
Like I love a good like birthday theme. I love a good like summer party theme. Like, it's the best. I enjoy it so much.
Yeah, it was so much fun. That night also, I like had dinner at Indochine before.
Oh, yeah, we're on the same. We like the same things.
I know.
That's why we're friends.
We like nice things.
We like nice things. Yes. We work very hard to be able to have the nice things.
That we do. And Indochine was like such a vibe, especially during Fashion Week. It was like, every time I'm there, I see like some kind of celebrity. Like, Evan Locke was there this time. Mm-hmm. Like, it was
he's so attractive.
He is hot. He is hot. Speaking, he's kind of short though. Like, I mean, I'm short.
So like, if he was like 6 foot, like my type.
Yeah, like I feel like online he comes across, like on Gossip Girl or whatever, he comes across as like somebody who's like 6 feet tall.
Yeah, he gives like tall man energy.
Yeah, but he's not. But okay, well, speaking of which, let's talk about your dating life. Obviously, you have all of these businesses. You are a very busy person. What are you doing to date?
I'm kind of just letting my love life happen to me versus like for me. I don't know if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot has been going on, especially, oh my God, I don't know if anybody can relate to this. The month of September was a wild, wild time for me. Like, in terms of my like love life, like not like that was like sleeping around, like more so like I just kept meeting so many people like naturally. I've never like met people organically at the speed that I was meeting, especially like September's Fashion Month. And you know, it's for the girls and it's for the gays. You know, it's like I was not.
Yeah, I'm like, where are the straight men during Fashion Week? Like, I have no idea.
Like, even having hope finding a husband. Like, I knew what the vibe was because we've just been doing it for so long, right? Like, I was just out like enjoying my time, attending shows, like working. Like, I was doing a lot of private events at my restaurants, and I never really like pictured myself meeting people. But just like throughout the month of September, I ended up meeting like different people at different times, and I even ended up like going to Paris with one of them.
Okay, hello. I know, I like saw you in Paris one weekend and I was like, who is that?
It's new. It's where just a couple dates in. But it's
one great of them, including going to Paris.
Yes, one of them including that. And it's been a really wonderful experience. He's actually so nice and healthy, which is great. And I feel like, you know, I just got out of a serious relationship earlier in this year, like a very, very long-term relationship. And I just thought that I was going to take some time for myself and heal and do what I need to do. And the universe was like, you know what? Like, let this month of September, just like, you should see your options, you know, see what's out there. And I just been having fun, and it's been wonderful.
So let's rewind. You said that you got out of a very like serious long-term relationship earlier this year. What was that? How long were you in that relationship? How did you meet that person? Like, and why do you think it ended?
We were in a relationship for 4 years, right? And we met through mutual friends. My friend was dating his friend and we got close. And one day I was like, oh, maybe I do have feelings for this person. We were friends first. And I think that that's the most sad part of it as well. Like, not only do you lose a boyfriend and a partner, you also lose your best friend. And that's what I think kind of like still makes me feel a little sad, you know, because I wish that there was a way for relationships that start off as friendship to revert back to how it was beforehand, but it just doesn't work that way, you know, like the history and the problems.
Yeah, it's so tough. Like, I feel the relationships that I've been in for the most part have been people who are kind of relative strangers to me beforehand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I've definitely had experiences with friends that, like, have maybe – altered my friendship because you choose to like get involved.
Yeah, when you cross that line, it's the line's crossed. You can't uncross it for sure.
Yeah, and I've never been in a fully like full blown relationship with like somebody who I considered a close friend first. But I think exploring this idea of friendship like after a relationship is so interesting. It really depends like one how things ended, and why do you think things ended with you guys?
I think a lot of it has to do with maturity. You know, I think that I wanted him to be a better communicator, and it's very important to realize that you're dating someone, and when you have conflict, it's a natural progression of life, right? Nothing is going to be sunshines and rainbows all of the time, but when a problem arises, it's not you and me against each other. Like, I'm not fighting with you, right? It should be me and you against the problem. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really, really important to me. And every time that we would get into an argument, he felt like I was attacking him personally. He felt like I was like nitpicking at him, but I'm just bringing up how I was feeling and what my emotions are towards an issue, if there was an issue, and I wanted us to talk about it and solve the issue together. And he just like every time a problem was brought up, immediately defense mechanism, like, you know, which like maybe that comes from the past traumas he's had, like, I'm not sure, but it's like if you're not willing to be open about solving that, there's no way for us to move past that, because right. then we will never get anything like solved. It would just be me and you fighting each other and getting nowhere. It should be us like working as a team to resolve whatever issue came up.
So was it you that decided that the relationship wasn't serving you anymore, or was it a decision you guys came to together?
Yeah, it was kind of me who brought it up. And I think we both understood that this was not heading to a place that was the most healthy. And we still have love for each other, but I don't think we were in love with each other anymore.
Yeah. It's honestly like, it's so sad to think about like having such a full relationship with someone and having somebody be such like an integral part of your life. And then them no longer being a part of your life. Like, you don't have access to that person anymore. You touched a little bit about like how you guys were friends before, and now do you have any contact with him, or do you have any sort of relationship, or was it just kind of like we're breaking it off and that's it?
Recently we haven't really spoken much, you know, to each other. And I think that's the most healthy. Like, I think that we both need to heal. And I think that he's also started seeing other people, and I'm very, you know, happy about that. Of course, like, there's some sadness in that, but I want what's best for him and he wants what's best for me. And I hope like maybe sometime down the road when we've both like moved on and we have like relationships that serve us and actually work with our personalities, maybe like we could be friends again, or maybe not. Like, I don't know how life works, but I just think that when you've experienced so much with somebody, it's hard to just revert back to strangers. You know that song that's like out right now? Like it hits very close to home.
I know exactly what song you're talking about.
Like it's called Strangers. Yeah,
it's called Strangers. I'm also like just out of a kind of a long-term relationship, a year and a half. Yeah. And it was, you know, you can still have so much respect for a person, like, and like so much love for a person, like after you break up, but
yeah, then, those like good times don't go away. You know, it happened, but that doesn't like it doesn't balance out or is a reason why you should stay through the bad times.
Exactly,
like, you have to make choices that you have to also picture. Like, is this going to be someone that I could build my future life with? And like, no one wants to be like forcing like something to work. Like, you know, it's like a round hole in a square peg situation. It's like, just because that you guys are like have love for each other doesn't mean that he's the right partner for you.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I think this idea of like going no contact with an ex is like, for me, the best way for me to move on. And that's what I've found. I know for some people that they feel like it's still necessary to kind of like still have a conversation with their ex, still keep them in their life to some degree, like keep them even at an arm's length. But I'm like a huge proponent for like being no contact, like cut your lives off from one another and like start to focus on yourself and create your own life. And, you know, when it feels right, maybe there's a time where that person re-enters your life when your life is like full again without them. But it's tough. And I mean, 4 years is a really long time to be with someone. So what do people say? The rule is like, it should take you like half your time of being in a relationship to like get over your relationship. Yeah. If that was true, then like you would be waiting for 2 years, which is long as fuck.
I don't think that's like necessarily true. You know what I mean? Like, but it has been almost a year, right? It's like we broke up in January. And I think that when you know you're ready to date, you know, like I feel like nobody else can tell you an exact timeline. And also, I'm just like enjoying so much of my life right now in terms of my friends, my traveling, and like working on, you know, building my empire. And it's wonderful. And it's like, if someone were to come along and be the right person, I would 100% be open to that.
So at what point did you realize you were ready to start dating again? And how did you kind of go about that?
I think I felt ready when, like, I don't know. I think that, like, you know, sometimes you go, like, you're on the apps, right? So that's how people meet people. And sometimes if you are not ready, you can like match with like the perfect guy and you're just like, you can't force yourself to like actually go on that date, right? Like if you're not interested, you're not ready, it's not going to make it out of that chat. Like it's just not going to happen. And I feel like when I felt ready, like I was like, oh wait, like maybe the idea of going on a date sounds actually pretty nice to me. So I decided to go for it.
So did you get on apps and like, is that how you started to get back out there?
Yeah. Like I went on a couple like Raya dates and Hinge dates, right? Like, and it's so funny. Like I was just thinking, I was like, oh, I'm paying for Raya. Like might as well like actually use it, you know?
Yeah.
And I went on a couple of dates, like probably two or three. And they were all, it's very interesting dating on Raya. It's like, they're all like creatives and they all have like some sort of thing that they're working on. And you just like at that point, I'm just like, okay, like this is fun. This is really fun. And it's like, I feel like I love the aspect of getting to know somebody on a first date. I actually ended up going on a date that lasted 24 hours.
What?
Like, and we didn't even sleep with each other.
What did you guys do?
We went to bed, right? Like, but like, we hung out, we watched a movie, and then he was like, oh, can I stay over? I was like, oh, like, sure, you could stay over. And then, like, I was just like, I probably shouldn't have like allowed that like for a first date. But like, I was just like, you know, he could be an axe murderer for all I know, but it's fine. Like, I'm alive. But I was like, yeah, sure. Like, it was getting late. He stayed over, and then we went to Little Spain the next day. It was because I live in Hudson Yards, and we got like a paella and like Spanish tapas. It was really cute. And we like got like Aperol spritzes. That was like really cute. And like, we walked around. We just like didn't want the date to end. Like, we're both like, oh, we have a lot of work. Like, I have work to do. And he's like, yeah, same. Like, I have a lot of work to catch up on, like meetings and stuff. And it's like, when you have like two entrepreneurs, like, you make your own schedule, right? So like, we both did it. We both said we had stuff to do, but we just like didn't leave each other, right? And then we walked and got coffee. And like, after that, like, we said again, like, oh, maybe like we should go get some work done. And then we ended up sitting like in the park and talking for another 2 hours. And then I was like, oh, do you know what sounds like really good right now? Cafe Pana. And then
Cafe Pana.
Oh my God, it's so good. Like, it's my favorite ice cream.
It's my favorite ice cream also. We have to go one day.
It's so good. And like, but I refuse to wait in lines. Like, I just refuse. And but we're like, I was like, oh, have you ever been? And he was like, no. And I was like, it's so good, but they always have a line. We can try, right? And then we decided to like city bike there. But then he couldn't get the city bike app to work or something. But we still ended up making it to, I guess, like, that's called like Gramercy, like, right? Mm-hmm. That's where, like, so, and then we saw like the line like wrapped around the block, and I'm like, no, absolutely not, like, absolutely not. And then I was like, it's fine. And then at that point, we're like near his place. I was like, okay, like, let me walk you home, like, you know. And then he was like, yeah, like, blah, blah. And then it was like dinner time. So like, logically, you have to have dinner, you know, like. And then we went to Fish Cheeks, which is another great spot, like, delicious, like, such good Thai food, like, so the crab fried rice, my favorite, like, definitely get that on the menu. So delicious. And then we like was on his roof, like watching the sunset, like over Soho, you know, like it did. And that was 24 hours. And I went home.
So what happened?
You would not believe it. It's like kind of funny. It's like hilarious. Like, I shouldn't have asked this question. I asked him, I was like, because he also, what's funny is he didn't get out of like a relationship, but he's caught up on this girl. And he was talking about her, but like in like kind of like a normal way, like just like, oh yeah, like, you know, like this is like this girl that like I feel like I liked for a bit, right? And then like I asked, I was like, oh, do you still have feelings for her? Do you love her? And then she, well, I don't know if I asked if he loved her. I think I asked, do you have feelings, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I think I'm in love with her. I was like, what? Like, I was like, sir, why did you go on this date with me if you're in love with another girl? Like, and also, first of all, if you're trying to like get me to sleep with you, that is not something that you would ever say to a girl. It's just so funny. Like, it's just so, I was like so confused. I was like, oh,
I think he got a little too comfortable.
Yeah, maybe like after that point, like after you spend so much time with each other, you kind of just like run out of topics. But like, where you just like feel like, oh yeah, wow, we've been just so comfortable with each other. Let me just tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh wow, okay. Thank you for being honest. Like, thank you for being honest. That's like very important. But I'm just like, what am I supposed to do with that information? Yeah. You know, like, what am I supposed to do?
Like, I can't, like, continue dating you knowing you love another girl.
You have deep feelings for another person.
Clearly that didn't work out.
Yeah, but I had a wonderful time. I did have a wonderful time. It's a story that I could tell my kids, my future kids.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always these, like, experiences when you date where you, like, connect with someone so well that even if it doesn't work out, you maybe have this, like, whirlwind, like, 24-hour romance or, like, an 8-hour date or whatever. And I feel like a lot of people who date, like, go through experiences like that. And it's interesting because I've had experiences like that. I have friends who've had experiences like that. And I think it's like, oh, when you feel that kind of spark with someone, like, that's the person that, like, makes you excited and, like, maybe you could start imagining a future with them, like, oh, like, I mean, it all happens in like a short amount of time.
First day in, you're imagining a future with them.
Well, I think if you're spending like 24 hours together, not like,
yeah, no, it's hard to not start to like feel like something. It's
not like, oh, I can see myself getting married, but like, oh, like I could see myself like going on more dates with this person, you know? Like when I was living in Miami, I met a guy and like we met like at night and we just like clicked and we were hanging out and we kept hanging out. Like we hadn't even like kissed or anything. And he was leaving the next morning to go back home. He was just visiting Miami. Yeah. And we hadn't even, like, we hadn't done anything. And he was like, what if I change my flight?
That's like, see, it's like, do it for the plot. You
exactly.
Know?
It's like do it
for the plot.
It's like, do it for the plot. And I was like, oh my God. Like, in my mind, I was like, nobody's ever done that for me before. Like, that feels very extreme, but like.
That's like very, like, it makes you feel special. And it feels like a type of, like, thing that would happen only in the movies.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And, like, he ended up changing his flight, and we ended up, like, spending the whole, like, night and then next day together.
Okay, no, I love that. Like, now it's, like, an amazing story.
Exactly. You know? And we had so much fun. But, no, like, I think
that's. You'll never see him ever again.
Did I see him? I'm like, no, I don't think I – no, I haven't – I never saw him again, like, in person. Like, he obviously, like, followed me on Instagram and then, like, hovered on my Instagram for, like – lurked for, like, years, just, like, orbited, like, would like my stories and, like, sometimes slide into my DMs. But I'm like, there is nothing here. Like, it was fun for the, like, 24 hours that it lasted, but, like, that's it. You know,
that's like crazy. Like, you guys didn't even kiss, and like he was like, "Do you want me to stay? I could change my flight."
Yeah, we were just like vibing. We were just like having a good time.
I love that.
And I was like, "Yeah, if you want to." And even like when he was supposed to catch his flight the next evening, he was like, "Should I change it?" And I was like, "I, you know, do what you want, but like you gotta go home at some point." it was fun. I've had like a few experiences like that, but it's never like those experiences never lead to like relationships.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard to like, but that, I don't know. And I have no idea. Like, you just gotta like live it like in the moment, and then who knows what would happen? Who knows? Like, just have no expectations. So. Then you wouldn't be disappointed.
And yeah, of course. But it's so much easier said than done to have no expectations,
that's
right?
That's true. It's very easier said than done, for sure.
Like, it's so easy to be like, okay, well, take it at face value and like take it for what it was and enjoy it. Like, I obviously can do that in retrospect, but like in the time I was like, oh my God, like I'm really getting along with this person and I really like them. Like, and it seems like they like me. Like, maybe there's something here, and then it's like
like, where does he live? Why didn't you guys see each other again?
I mean, he's come to New York like since then, but like I just haven't seen him. I don't know. This was like years ago. Like, this was when
Else? Maybe you like run into him at like out.
Maybe that? Like he's. I have him on Instagram. He's like. Yeah. This is when I was like 24. Like, it's been like 3 years. So it's been a minute. It's not really like something I think about often anymore. But. Yeah. It's just like a fun story, obviously.
Like, I love it. It's just the motto, like doing it for the plot.
You gotta just do it for the plot. But clearly you've gone on some dates, you've gone on some app dates, you're meeting some people in person.
Yeah, in person.
So tell me about this like month of September, this trip to Paris. Like, who is what's the situation?
I think I really like him. See, like, that's, like, something that would only happen in movies, but we are still seeing each other. Like, we started, we went on a date September 1st, and then we went on a second date, but I was, like, busy, right? Like, because it was fashion week and stuff like that. And I told him on this date, I was like, oh, like, just, like, came up in conversation. I think he asked like, what's your favorite place like that you like to travel to, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh yeah, like I love Paris, like love Paris so much. I would live there if I didn't live in New York City. Mm-hmm. Like, I enjoy the food so much, the fashion scene. Like, it makes me feel at home when I'm in Paris, right? And he was like, oh, like, I don't like it. And I was like, what do you mean you don't like Paris? He's like, yeah, I've like been when I was like younger, but like I have no connection to it the way that you do. But I was like, oh, maybe it's just because you haven't done Paris with me. And, you know, I was like, I like can show you all of my favorite spots, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, haha, maybe. Right. He like left it at that. It was very lighthearted. And I was like, okay, yeah, no, like I never thought anything of it. And then he was like, randomly after this date was like, texted me, was like, hey, you know how I was saying that I didn't want to go back to Paris anytime soon, or like I didn't like Paris? And I was like, yeah, yeah, you told me that. And I was like, I'm offended. I love Paris. Mm-hmm. And he's like, actually, I am going to think about it a little bit more and actually maybe change my mind because the Rugby World Cup is happening in Paris and he loves rugby, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, like every 4 years they have the World Cup and this year it's in Paris. And then he was just like hinting at the fact that like maybe does this like sound good to you? I was like, oh, yeah, I've never seen rugby, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, do you want to come? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, like I was thinking about flying in a little earlier and we could go spend time in Paris and then see the World Cup in the city of Lille, which is like an hour away by train where this game is happening. And I was like, are you asking me to go to Paris with you for our third date? Like, is that what's happening? He's like, maybe. And I was like, wait, but like, maybe I'm down. And then like we spent like 4 days in Paris together. And
4 days?
Yes, 4 whole days. And the flight there and back, which is like 7.5 hours.
Did he pay for everything?
No, I flew myself to Paris, but he, you know, as a gentleman should, like, paid for food and the hotel and stuff, you know.
And how did you meet this person?
On Hinge.
On Hinge. Okay, so it wasn't, like, out and about.
No, no, this one was the one person that I met all of the month of December on the app. Everybody else was in person.
I'm curious, are you paying for Hinge or no?
No, I'm not. Why would I pay for Hinge?
Because I think sometimes, or most people say that if you like pay for Hinge, you have a better algorithm.
Really? I feel like that makes sense. They're a business at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm wondering if this is like somebody behind the paywall, you know what I'm saying?
I feel like how would they know if you are a better, like, payable person, like, that would be, like, how does the algorithm know?
So with Hinge, and for most dating apps, you are kind of, like, assigned a score. Oh. And, like, most apps don't talk about this. They, like, to refute it. They, like, don't, you know, want it. But this is just how algorithms work. Like, if you are somebody who is, like, very swiped on, you can – you know how Hinge has, like, a roses feature?
Yeah.
And, like, all of the, like, hottest guys are, like, in your rose jail.
Yeah. I know. I heard about that, which is true. Like, I think that sucks. I feel like you should be able to just, like, I don't know, match with these guys without having to pay.
Well, that's the thing. They want you to pay for it because they know these guys are desirable. Yeah. And I don't think necessarily it's, like, people they think are desirable to you. I think it's people who are just desirable in general.
Yeah.
So like maybe people who get like a lot of swipes, like, oh, this person is 6'3" and went to Harvard and like works at McKinsey, like somebody like that might get like that a lot sense. Of swipes.
Yeah. That does make sense.
And then be in like Rosedale. And you, I mean, it's kind of nice. Like, you know that you are like in someone's Rosedale when you like receive a rose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is that what happens?
Well, I think it's an indicator. Like, I don't know. I always get roses from guys I think are not cute at all. But I'm like, okay, well, at least to someone I might be aspirational.
Oh, no, you are. Don't say that to everyone you are. Okay.
I'm kidding. But like, that's what I'm wondering. I was like, oh, well, are you paying for Hinge? Like, can I meet somebody just as great by swiping?
Or? Yeah, no, I'm on regular Hinge. That's the.
And did you like him or did he like you?
Oh my! What's so funny was that I didn't actually want to go on this date. Well, I've like told him this, so it's not new information. I like was like so busy. I was like, I actually like scheduled this date like right before like I had to go to dinner with a friend. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally just planned on being there for an hour. Like, that's how uninterested I was. I was like, you know, like, I already did say yes that I was going to go on this date. And he was, like, very, like just, like, nice. And he was, like, I was not going to, like, not go and, like, stand him up. That's not the type of person I am. Yeah. I will never be. But I was going to show up and, like, I was going to feel it out. I'm, like, if it vibed, like, maybe we could go on a second date. But he, like, asked me, like, to go to Dear Irving. Have you been there? Mm-hmm. So we went and I show up and I'm, like – like, you know, he was cute. He has an accent. He's British. And I was like, okay, I didn't expect that. Like, well, like maybe I'd, like that's how I didn't even read the profile that deeply. And I was like, oh, like the conversation was fun. It was flowing, which very interesting because I just like planned on being there for an hour and that hour flew by. And then I had to be like, hey, actually, I had dinner plans with one of my friends and she's waiting for me around the corner. And he was like, what? I was like, yeah, like the fact of the matter is like, I didn't know if I was going to like you. And I just like showed up because I'm a woman of my word. And I didn't want to like stand you up because you were like texting me and following up. And I was like, you know, you seem like a really, really nice person. And I did want to meet you. And because we vibed, like, I was thinking maybe we could go, like, on a date in the future or maybe not. But I did come in this with an intention of just being casually, like, talking.
Yeah, like, being here for an hour and then going.
And he was, like, I don't know. He took it very well and he, like, laughed it off. He's like, ha-ha, like, you know what I mean? Like, and he walked me to dinner. And my friend, she invites him to sit down at dinner with us. Okay. Oh. He invites him to sit down and we have dinner. And then I was like, what is happening? But then throughout this whole dinner, he was like talking to her and like he's being a nice person. And like my friend genuinely like was also like giving that stamp of approval. Like, oh, I like.
Yeah, that's like the ultimate litmus test is like seeing how somebody is around your friends.
Like he was sweet. He was nice. And then I also made another plan to go to a party with my friend afterwards to my friend's like anniversary like party at Chapel Bar. Mm-hmm. Her and her husband was celebrating like 5 years. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go there. Like, and he kind of invites himself. He's like, I've never been to Chapel Bar. I heard it's nice.
It's like, gorgeous. Well, we love Chapel Bar.
I love Chapel Bar. One of my like favorite places. Like, who doesn't want to like go to Chapel Bar? And he's like, I've never been. And I was like, okay, do you want to come? And like at this point it's like this 1 hour date has now spanned to like 6 hours.
Where did you guys go to dinner?
We went to Veronica.
Okay. Oh, so right there.
Yeah, I am efficient. I am efficient with my time. Okay. Dear Irving, Veronica, Chapel Bar. I'm not like running across
you
town.
Were like two block radius. That's
yes,
it.
Two block radius. We are making it work in all amazing places that I would recommend, right? And I end up being at Chapel Bar with him until like probably like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. It was so much fun. And then he was even so sweet. He like made sure me and my friend got home. And then he went home. Very, very respectful.
So what are you kind of looking for in a person now? Like, do you think you are ready to kind of seriously date again? Or are you looking to just have your fun and like focus on yourself and like see what comes your way?
I think that I am just like enjoying life right now. You know, that Kourtney Kardashian me, like my like mood is just living life, like, you know, which I am. And I'm living life and I'm going by it like day by day and I'm enjoying my time. And I think my goal is just to also eventually definitely like find someone that I really connect with and date seriously. Mm-hmm. And it's definitely something that is the number one goal, of course. Like, nobody is going to sit here and lie to you that they don't want to find their partner. Like, they do. Like, it's nice. Like, nobody wants to be alone. But right now, yeah, I'm, like, living life. And if someone comes along who's, like, going to add to my life and make me happy, I'm happy to explore that.
So in terms of, like, what you look for in that kind of person, like, do you think you have a type, either physically or kind of, like, emotional traits?
I'm very tall, right? Like, I'm 5'8". So I definitely prefer someone who could be tall. because I wear heels and I want to like be your height when I'm in heels, mm-hmm. or shorter. So like I would prefer if
you're like 6 feet taller.
Yes, like let's do that.
That's like 6 feet and taller.
I just want a man that's 6 feet and above. Come on. But traits, I really prefer someone who's ambitious, because I'm very ambitious and driven. Like, I love it when you have goals and I could help you with those goals. I'm like a very big act of service as a love language type of person. Like, I want to help you achieve your dreams. And I truly believe that everyone can put their mind to something and accomplish it. Like, if they just have enough like motivation, dedication, and like just like being able to ask for help, like those things are so important. Mm-hmm. And I need someone who's like supportive, right? Like someone who understands that, you know, I'm gonna have like days where like sometimes I feel like stressed out, where I feel like that I need like just like a break, or someone just to like cuddle and watch a movie with. Like I love that, you know. And I like someone who, I don't know, genuinely like loves adventure. Like I love going on new adventures all the time, like seeing the world. The world's so big, like there's so much to do and so much to see. And I want to do that with somebody.
So, I mean, you want someone tall, but you want somebody ambitious and who has goals, who has dreams, who likes to travel. Are there any other like attributes I'm missing, or anything that's like an absolute no for you?
Absolute no. I don't think so. Like, I feel like my friends were like joking, like that I have like such sporadic type. I was like literally talking to her this morning and she was like, oh, like your types are like all over the place. And then you can't really pinpoint it. But then like my other friend was like, oh, like you kind of like hot college professors that like look like they teach like history. Like I was like, who doesn't? Like, it's like a, like, who doesn't like that? You know?
True, fact.
At the other end of the spectrum, like, I love like boys with tattoos and like could look like they own it, like just they just I love tattoos as well,
like, but the skater boy aesthetic.
Yeah like the very like the Doberman boy aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's like a spectrum. It's like the hot college professor that teach history does not have tattoos.
Yeah, like we can like hot college professor and we can like dime square rat.
Like the spectrum is so wide. Like, why?
Yeah, literally Columbia professor to dime square rat is the spectrum.
I also like someone who is like, yeah, like, I don't know, like hot college professor, like, that just started. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's this. Like,
not
I,
like
I,
a super silver fox, but,
yeah,
like.
Not a silver fox. Like, I need someone, like. Like,
that's age appropriate. Question
if I'm, like with him, or I'm his daughter.
Yeah. Hey, you never know. You have a lot of life to live. Like, there
yeah,
might be.
Right? Like, who knows? Like, there's some silver foxes, like, that I'm like, I question myself. I'm like, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, is that, like, is this what I'm into?
Oh, yeah. You never know.
No, and I'm like, I hope my future husband ages like that.
That's honestly. Yes. that's the dream. I feel like, right? Men,
it's like so funny. Like, it's like you never know how you age. Like you can't predict it.
Well, now there are all those like AI filters that can predict your aging.
I'm like so scared. Like,
I know, I'm honestly like, terrified.
I'm like, should I start like, I don't know, like
the Botox, the like,
no. What is happening?
Oh my God, no. Definitely not at all. But no. Okay, well, if you are on that hot college professor to dime square rat spectrum and are interested in meeting our guest, you can slide in through the Drinks First matching form, or, you know, if you're interested in meeting her in person as a friend, we also have that option as well. So we end every single episode with a segment called Shots, which are rapid fire this and that questions. Are you ready to do some shots?
Am I ready to do some shots? Yes, I am.
Okay. Early bird or night owl?
Ooh, night owl.
Work hard or play hard?
Both.
Dine out or delivery?
Dine out.
Laundry or dishes?
Laundry.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Money or fame?
Money.
Coca-Cola or Pepsi?
Coca-Cola.
Spicy or mild?
Spicy.
Coffee date or drinks date?
Coffee date.
What's your favorite season?
Fall.
And what's your favorite song right now?
Strangers by, I don't know what her name is. It's not so bad. I need to look it up. I love that song. Wait, or the remix by Dove Cameron and Marshmallow, Other Boys. I love that song right now.
What is your drink of choice?
Ooh, a matcha latte with oat milk.
Ooh. And if you had a boat, what would you name it?
The first name that just came to my mind is Serendipity.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on. This was so fun. I'm glad we could do this.
I'm so happy that you invited me to be on this podcast.
Of course. And like I said, if you're interested in matching with our guest, you can do so on flow.page/drinksfirst. There is a form you can fill out, or you can go in our link in bio on Instagram, which is at drinks.first. You can find me, your host, Ariana Nathani, on TikTok and Instagram at ariana.nathani. So thank you so much for being here, and can't wait for the next one.
Thank you so much.